The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside Chat in the Week in Comics. We're labeling this one cha-ching. John's open, John's selling. There's bright light at the end of the tunnel. It's good news. Quite a bit of news we talk about. Wonder Woman stuff, obviously. Taika Waititi, we talk about that. The Boys, Mandalorian. We get into Star Wars, Clone Wars, and Rebels. Basically, the final season of Clone Wars. Great conversation. Talk about all three parts. We don't even get to comic books till about the 110 mark, and that's pretty short because, as you know, there's not a lot of comics right now, but I do have a recommendation this week. You can check that out. But yeah, let's get back to a little bit of normal and head into the store and hang out. Johnny, my buddy with an open store. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great down here. I love it. The fluorescent lights, being in the store. I don't have to wear a mask. I got my gloves on. Look at me.
Yeah. It's like, how'd you fly?
Very carefully.
Went to cargo.
So seriously, we just got on, been dying to hear. How'd your week go? How are things going for you?
It went pretty good. Obviously it wasn't a normal week.
Right.
But it was pretty decent. I mean, I had people coming out every day. Obviously people come out Friday and Saturday. The first couple of days were the biggest 2 days I've had since I've been open. But definitely it was less than a normal weekend. But I've also noticed, you know, since there's no such thing anymore as weekends or weekdays, really. Like, everything is
right.
Just the same. So what I noticed was, like, Monday, Tuesday were, like, way better than what I would normally do on a Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it's kind of averaging out. You know, today obviously was much less than a normal Wednesday for me. But, hey, I'm just happy to be open and making, you know, a few hundred bucks a day. I mean, it's better than nothing. You know, I was able to pay my rent on Monday. Tomorrow morning, I'll be able to pay off my diamond bill. So, yeah. And then I'm square, you know. Then I just have to make enough to get through the end of the month, you know.
Which, yeah.
You know, it's only the 6th, so I should be in good shape. You know, we'll see. Looking forward, obviously, to the 20, you know, couple of 2 weeks from today, we'll have some new comics. You know, like I mentioned last week, it's not going to be any, you know, that it's not going to be of significance. Like, I'm not going to pay my rent off of that week's comics.
Right.
I think we're only getting about 10 books total.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something. You know, people are, you know, dying to get some books back in again. And, you know, a lot of people cleared out their pulls. You know, I've really got
two...
Yeah, I've got really only like two stragglers, you know, that have books of any significant quantity. You know, there's some people that have one or two books on hold. It'd be great if they picked them up, but I mean, that's not going to help me or hurt me all that much.
Right.
You know, I've got two guys that are sitting on a couple hundred bucks a piece.
Jeez.
If I can get them in before the 20th, you know, I'll actually, you know, I want to say a couple weeks ago, it's probably been like 7 weeks by now, when we talked about first shutting down, I made the comment that, you know, I was going to require most everybody to be clear with all their pulls before we started getting new books. And I'll pretty much be there, you know, with the exception of those two people. So I'm almost like grand opening again, where all my pull boxes will be empty. And
yeah,
hopefully, you know, people will be able to get back on, you know, on track and keep up with all that stuff. So. Like I said, it's good to go. Next week we have a new release for Magic the Gathering, so that'll be the first new product that I'll get in since before we closed. So obviously I'll have that for release day, which will be good. So it's starting to feel like, you know, starting to feel like normal again.
Wow.
You know, still, you know, I mean, people walking in, it looks like The Walking Dead.
You know? Really?
It's like, yeah, everybody has gloves. You know, I quickly had to
amend
that glove idea. Yeah, I quickly had to give up on that. You know, I'm wearing gloves and my employees are wearing gloves all day long, but too many people were coming in without them. And, you know, just to be frank, I need your money. Like, I can't afford to tell you you have to go home.
Well, that, yeah, it's a nice
idea,
but right. So,
I mean, I'm doing my best to kind of personal shop for them. And, you know, I did get a supply of hand sanitizer in from Amazon yesterday. So I put that on the counter. So if nothing else, you know, I'm having them sanitize their hands before they go digging through the books or what have you. But
yeah
I knew by midday Saturday that wasn't going to work.
Right.
Because, you know, there was just too many people coming in without him. I watched a guy drive up to the door, read the sign, and then get back in his car and drive away. And I realized that that can't happen.
Right.
You know? So, it was a good idea, like you said, best intentions, but, you know, we do what we have to do to get by. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. How have the customers been? Meaning, like, are they very talkative when they come in?
A little bit. Most of them are kind of cognizant of the fact that they really shouldn't be just hanging out at the, you know.
Yeah, but I meant to you.
Like, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. They come in and while they're shopping, they're talking and all that. But a lot of them would normally hang around and talk for 30 minutes or whatever. And they're not really doing that. They're kind of coming in, getting their, you know, doing their business and going. And like I said, we chat while they're at the counter or what have you, but everybody seems to be doing all right. You know, everybody's the same as everybody else in the world, ready to get back to, ready to get back to normal. So it's just nice that we, you know, we're able to do that. This coming Friday, they're going to allow, like, the gyms and the hair salons and all that to open.
Oh, that's good. So that lady can get out of jail?
Yeah, she can. Yeah, the one from Austin or Dallas or whatever. Yeah, so, you know, again, obviously at 25% capacity, you know, salons, they're recommending by appointment only.
Right.
And then I think the following Friday we get to bump up to 50% capacity. So, so we're on the way. I haven't seen any reports on whether the cases are spiking or not, but you wouldn't really know for 2 weeks, anyways.
I heard a report on a separate podcast that, like, the day you guys opened, that you had your highest, like, death day.
The day before.
Right.
The day before we opened.
But
again, completely unrelated, though.
Exactly.
You know? Those were cases that happened 2 weeks prior to that.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. So. Exactly. And that's what made me laugh. I'm like, because somebody was trying to make the case that that Texas shouldn't have opened. They had their highest case the day before. He had said the day of. And it was like, but it's not like they all went back to work and then people just hit the floor. Like,
right.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm back
it was
to
actually
work.
It was actually the Thursday before because I saw those reports too.
That's funny.
But yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's like people are going to obviously want to connect the dots, but they're so unrelated. Now, again, in 2 weeks from now, if we have our highest number ever, then.
Yeah, you got to back it off.
We might have to back it off. You know, maybe we're not going to be at 50% or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, I got to go out to breakfast on Sunday. And
oh, restaurants are open?
Yeah. Restaurants are open at 25% capacity.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, so we were able to go to our normal spot for breakfast. And
so how do they allow restaurants but not hair salons?
I don't know.
Because restaurants, that's a way more... dare I say, intimate thing, because you're drinking out of glasses, you're touching, you know what I mean? And it's like, washed, but you're sitting, I mean, you can do, most hair salons, they have like four chairs, you could do 50% and put people on either end of each other, and even have them wear a mask if you wanted. It's like...
I don't know.
That's weird.
Because that's the one thing about going out to eat, too. You know, obviously the servers are all gloved and masked or whatever.
Right.
Nobody in there eating is.
Right.
I mean, you can't eat with your mask on. You don't really want to eat with rubber gloves on. So everybody in there is just, you know, normal. When I say normal, but, you know, no gloves and no mask. Yeah. So
they might have mental issues, but.
Exactly. Case in point, I was there breakfast.
I so. Couldn't get it out fast enough.
But yeah, like I said, it felt like a little slice of normalcy.
Heaven.
You know, doing what we would normally do. Yes, and I tell you, the best chorizo and eggs I've had in a long, long time.
Is that the place we went to? The
No,
we didn't go to that one.
We didn't go there. It's the restaurant right by my store, the Mexican restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Right by my store. Yeah, we usually go every Sunday after church. We go there for breakfast. So.
Oh, nice.
We didn't go to church, although church opened too, which I thought was weird. Because the church has
now,
opened.
Do they say 50% capacity? Like
it was supposed to be 25%.
25.
And they sent an email out. You know, they had like every other pew closed, and they wanted to be at 25% capacity. But we didn't attempt that this week. We'll see. I will probably be another couple weeks before we're ready to do that because I don't know how they're monitoring it. And
yeah,
you know, you don't want to get up and get dressed for church and drive all the way over there. For us, it's a 20-minute ride. And then get told, you know, they're at capacity and you can't come in. So,
right.
You know, I don't know how they're really doing that or how many people were going to try to take advantage of that. So we just passed on that. But, you know, we didn't pass on breakfast, of course.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I know a lot of people listening are feeling really jealous right now because
they're in
parts of the country where they're not able to do that. And I feel bad, but, you know, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, but we're all going to get there. And it's nice.
Well, that's right.
It's awesome to see that somebody that was closed down is, you know, you're going through it.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, obviously here in Massachusetts, we're actually going in the opposite direction. We're getting stricter with our mandates. Today was the first day we had to wear everybody.
No, I saw
you
that.
Leave the house, you have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I went online.
It was worded funny because it said you must wear a mask where social distancing is not possible.
Right.
So where is that necessarily? Like how do they define that?
So what's funny is I've heard rumors that like say you're in a Walmart and it's like huge and there's not a lot of people around.
Right. So
you're good.
You can social distance
I've
all
heard
you
that,
want. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're outside, you're good.
Right.
If you can social distance. But if you're in the city and you're walking down the sidewalk and you're outside, of course, you're going to – it's tough. You can't – so I understand the mandate. Like if you're outside – and that's the part that I think a lot of people are – from what
I'm
hearing.
But the problem is it leaves it up to interpretation.
A lot of ambiguity
where,
there. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's hard to be enforceable.
Well, then you have the people that are cutting holes in their masks because they can't breathe.
Right.
You're like,
well, we already talked about how nobody's really using anything correctly anyway.
I saw one guy wearing a neoprene ski mask that you use when you go skiing to keep the wind off your face. And it's got the fold for the nose, but the nose is wide open underneath and all the little cutouts for the mouth.
Right.
And you're like,
that's what you're supposed to be covering.
Right. It's like it covers everything but what but.
Right.
But
your
you
whole
know
face
what?
Is covered except for your mouth and your nose.
Right. But nobody argues with it. You know, everybody's like, well, he's wearing a mask. Okay, that counts. Yeah. Well, yeah, but if I wore my Scooby-Doo mask from when I was six, that doesn't count either. But
there's so much ambiguity in all of it.
Well, not only in that, it's like you go in places and people have the mask like around their chin.
Yep.
Because it's just, so people are trying, but they're not. And then I don't know. I think that from what I've heard and from people is like they're ramping up the mask thing, especially here. We have way more. We're up to like over 2,000 deaths.
You're at
400 or whatever.
Yeah, you guys have it pretty bad there.
So it's going to be a little bit. But I think if we can get the mask thing going and then we can start in the direction you guys are going, but it's going to be a lot stricter on masks and stuff.
Yeah, well, and the thing is too is, you know, we're obviously one of the first places to kind of open back up and do this stuff. So we're going to kind of be the roadmap for everybody else. Like, I'm sure that we're going to make mistakes and do things incorrectly.
But I always say, best make your mistakes in Texas.
Exactly. Yeah. Me too. You know, everything's bigger in Texas, even your screw ups.
Go big or go home, right?
That's right. But, you know, we'll do some things, I'm sure, that didn't quite work. And, you know, hopefully it'll be the roadmap for everybody else to, avoid the, you know, avoid some of those mistakes too. So,
yeah, no, that's why, I mean, I'm
like,
not,
I mean, somebody's got to lead though. Somebody's always got to be the first one to do it. So,
right. And like you said, people, I'm not jealous at all. I'm very interested in what's going on down there. And I'm happy for you. I'm happy for the places down there. I'm happy for that poor woman in jail that owns a salon.
Yeah. You know, I get where she's coming from, but all she had to do was say, "I'm sorry, Judge." She didn't really have to mean it, you know. It's just, but
yeah.
I get that she wanted to make a point. And
you
make
can
a
do
stand.
Both sides, though. You honestly,
yeah.
you
well,
can say the same thing
saying.
To the judge. Like, come on, lady,
yeah.
what are you doing here?
yeah, like I said, I can see both sides because I don't know. I'm stubborn enough that I might have been her.
Oh, I know you would have been.
Yeah,
you can might have.
I definitely would have been her, but. But you know,
this week's Bright Side coming to you from the clink.
I'm not worried about the 7 days in jail. I was more worried about like the $7,000 fine or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, once you start clapping me in the wallet, then I, you know, then I'll show a little bit more contrition.
Well, doesn't she have like? Didn't somebody start a GoFundMe for her or something?
They did, yeah, somebody will bail her out because
oh, God,
like,
yeah.
hell, I might give her some money too, just because I appreciate what she was doing, trying to do. But
yeah. That's the stuff that yeah. I think people, not to get political, but people that don't want people to go back to work, it's if you go too long, it will get desperate. People
oh,
will get desperate, and desperate people do desperate things.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to mitigate that when you're managing. And I don't envy any of these people, like governors or anything, trying to manage their states because
right.
you have two sides of people, and it's like, it's funny, all the people that I hear saying, oh, we need to stay home. Well, those are people that are probably staying home and working from home. And
exactly.
they don't, and then there's.
It, right. And they're still collecting money or unemployment or what have
right.
you.
Right.
Somebody like me, I got nothing the entire time I was
right.
off. I wasn't eligible for anything. I didn't get any assistance from the SBA or whatever. And
right.
I was like this lady. Like at a certain point, I was going to open. I mean, I was just going to have to open and take my chances.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you and
because,
I talked about that. And you're like.
Again, like you said, you got to do. You know, you got to do what you got to do. And nobody goes into any of these decisions with malicious intent on either side. You know, like you said,
no.
the governors and the law enforcement, they're
right.
not out actively trying to hurt anybody. This lady's not out actively trying to spread corona or hurt anybody. But she's got a family to feed. She's got bills to pay. Who's helping? Who's taking care of that for her? Nobody is.
Right.
You know, so you have to at some point. Just pull up your bootstraps and say, well, I got to go take care of myself because nobody else is going to do it.
Right.
And, you know, so, yeah, it's crazy. And like I said, we are in the lucky end of the spectrum now. And we had 5 weeks of it. You know, you guys are going to roll into 10, 11, 12 weeks.
We started a week before you.
Yeah.
And,
and, you know, if I was in the 12-week period of time with no help from anybody.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be cooling my butt in jail with that lady because
I know,
you know,
I know it's true. It's tough.
Yeah.
So let's move on to some happier talk. Started
yeah.
off really good. Started off really well.
We did well.
Very
and
happy
it was like
for
I said,
you down there.
Very good. Yeah. Very good for us.
Yeah.
So.
So what do we got for some fun news?
Well, a few things I saw in the wake of all the things that are being postponed and things like that. I guess the industry expects to come back at some point because they're still making plans.
That I think is pretty interesting.
Maybe
we'll touch on that in a second.
Yeah. So, Patty Jenkins was speaking somewhere and she had confirmed that there's already plans to do a Wonder Woman 3. and also, an Amazon's spinoff movie. So we had kind of heard that before.
Yeah.
About the Amazon spinoff, we hadn't heard about Wonder Woman 3, although I don't think anybody's super surprised by that. so, you know, again, let's get Wonder Woman 2 in the theaters first.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think anybody expects that it's not going to make the money or do well, especially where it looks to be the first major thing we're going to get to see. Once everything opens back up again. So it's going to make all the money. I mean, I would really expect it to do even a lot more than the first one did because so many people are just going to be out trying to do something.
Now
it should perform pretty well at the box office.
August is pretty far away.
Yep.
But it is pretty close.
Yes.
You know, you kind of say,
yeah,
both.
It is. It'll come before you know it.
It could either be the first movie to come out, or it could be the first movie to be moved twice.
Right. It could, you know, but I could, you're right. It definitely
really
could.
See that because, and here's why. Theaters might be open by then, but what if the majority of the country, and when I say majority, it's like, say 90% of the country is open, but the 10% that closed is still closed is like the high right. populous areas.
Right.
What if those areas are still, do you want to release a movie that a lot, you're going to be missing a lot of theater goers?
No. Well, again, and the two biggest markets are New York and LA, and they're the, you know, some of the worst off when it comes to now. So yeah, if that's the 10% that's still closed, there's no way Warner Brothers puts this movie in the theaters.
Right.
With those two markets shut down. So yes, there is a possibility it could get moved. But like to your point, movie theaters are one of the businesses that were allowed to be open this past Friday on the 1st.
But at like a 25% capacity.
Right, but what I was going to say is I don't know a single one that actually opened.
Right.
Because
like, it's not feasible yet.
Closed. It's just not worth it. So
it's almost
even
like
if
you
they
have
can
to get
open,
to 50%, I think.
Yeah, and what are they showing? Like they,
right.
You know, you have to go back to old movies that have already been out.
Bloodshot.
Yeah, Bloodshot. something that didn't get a great theatrical release.
Well,
but,
this is where I think we might get that idea, what they did over in China, and they'll re-release Endgame, and they'll right. re-release, you know, Infinity War. And I think people would do that. People would love to do that.
Oh, for sure. Like, cause,
it'd be like
you
see
said,
it again. A back-to-back package or something.
They're just dying to go out and do something. So
yeah.
I can see anything that they put out, whether it's a brand new release or even like a re-release, is going to do monster numbers, I think, once everybody feels relatively comfortable going out and being around people again. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
But
I'm hearing...
The one thing I guarantee won't get delayed, Wonder Woman 3.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, we don't. It could be COVID-21 or something.
Okay, could you even have imagined what we're going through?
No, never could have imagined it. But and honestly, now going forward, I don't think this is the last one. You know,
no.
For us. It's gonna be like a hurricane. You know, every 3-4 years, we're gonna get one. You know,
well, I think a lot of it is I think the new normal is going to be like a lot more people are going to be working from home permanently.
Right.
And, you know, so you have a lot less social interaction in that way that will mitigate stuff like this. Like right. You don't have, just for instance, from my own eyes, you don't have all of these people converging on the city of Boston every day to all go into those little cubicle buildings and spread disease and then go back home to their suburb homes.
Right.
You know, so if you eliminate that, how much of that does that cut down? I know that there was some convention in Boston which was supposed to be like ground zero for it this time. It was like that's where most of the virus started. Not that it wouldn't have hit here, but it was one of those things that it was like, okay, and then it just blossomed, of course, from there.
Well, right, because you think about what happened in the places where it's bad. Like you said, big convention in Boston. You know, what happened in Louisiana right before this broke out? Mardi Gras. You know, that's why right. Louisiana is in such bad shape. You know, what happened in New York City? Well, it's 8 million people in, you know, 8 square miles. So,
right.
You know, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure these things out, but...
we've been spitballing for about 8 weeks now, so
and I know it took us this long, but we got there. So
that mask that I wore on the air,
yeah,
I'm wearing now. Right. I wear it when I go into stores. My breathing mask for work, and I get a lot of compliments.
Do you?
Oh yeah, people like yeah. anything from scary to they're like, "That's the best mask of the day." I was like, "All right."
Yeah, I've seen a couple of funny ones even coming into the store, but nothing quite like that.
Yeah.
All right. So,
what else?
In other news of things getting renewed prior to the next installment, we have The Boys, which Amazon has renewed for season 3. Again, well ahead of season 2 even hitting the air. So, I mean, that's good. Just to know that it's going to continue on for at least another season. You know, I gave up on reading it So I don't know how deep the story eventually goes through all 70 issues or what have you, but, you know, I imagine we could get, you know, 4 or 5 seasons out of that. So it's just good to know that that's, you know, something they're still looking at.
Yeah, and, well, it's going to be interesting when people start going back to their acting jobs and, you know, or the making more content, because it's, I'm even starting to notice, because I track when, like, Blu-rays come out, much like we do here on Wednesdays for what's coming out. I'm tracking, I usually look months in advance on what comes out on what Tuesday.
Right.
And you get 3 weeks out and it's nothing, nothing.
Yeah, they're not even doing any big releases.
Because they've all been done. Like, you had, like, Bloodshot.
Right, because there was nothing in the theater. Right, there was nothing in the theaters.
So they released them early, and now we're going to have this lull after the storm, you know, of no new content of Blu-ray releases.
They'll continue to do some catalog releases, I'm sure, but...
Well, we are getting Top Gun and Days of Thunder, which are, I know...
There you go.
Days of Thunder is a favorite of ours, one particular scene.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that. But
4K.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's gonna, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how many things get affected that you didn't really think about until it kind of happens.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Well, we'll be getting a Tom Hanks movie for sure.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. So this story broke on Monday, which is May the 4th, Star Wars Day. Everybody probably knows this already if you listen to this show.
But let's talk about it.
But yeah, let's talk about it. So this had been rumored for a while and was kind of shot down by Taika Waititi, but it looks like it's now all but confirmed that he's going to direct. This said the next theatrical movie.
Yeah.
So I guess that one means that the next thing we get isn't a trilogy, but it probably more of a standalone film.
I thought we heard that the next ones weren't going to be trilogies. At first, they were going to be trilogies.
That's right.
It?
Yeah, we.
And then
we
got the news.
There's so much that changes with these things every day. I can't even remember most of it. But yeah, that's right, because Lucasfilm had put out that news that they were going to move away from the trilogy format for a while and just go with a bunch of one-offs. So, you know, again, super early, so we have no information on what to expect from this.
He's writing.
But, you know, I love what he does. You know, I love Thor Ragnarok. I didn't see Jojo Rabbit, although I really want to. But, you know, his role in The Mandalorian was great. Like, he's just a funny guy. And that's something that, I mean, Star Wars always has a bit of humor, but I wonder what he's going to bring to it and how much freedom he's going to have to kind of be himself with it. Because it could be a completely different, just like Thor Ragnarok was so different from most of the MCU. You know, if you kind of take out Guardians of the Galaxy, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, he's likely to bring something that's pretty different for Star Wars than anything we've really seen before, and, you know, could be kind of like the shot in the arm or the breath of fresh air that might bring a lot of disgruntled or lapsed Star Wars fans back. Although I would imagine it will also have the opposite effect with a bunch of people as well. But
yeah, did you?
But I'm super excited for it, though. I can't wait.
Yeah. Did you see Disney's gallery, Star Wars The Mandalorian?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Really, really good.
I haven't had a chance to sit down.
So, it's not really spoilers, because it's a documentary about something that already happened. So,
right.
But yeah, there's the Dave Filoni.
Uh-huh.
Wait till you see that. So it starts off, they go through all the directors. It's like a half hour long, and he's the first one, and he gets the most time. Like, I want to say he got like 7 minutes or something to explain, you know, they talk to him, and he's got a great story. I guess he was working like over at, where was SpongeBob? Nickelodeon or something?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it was Nickelodeon.
So he was working over there before he got Clone Wars.
Okay.
And you've got to hear him tell the story of how he got hired to do Clone Wars. And like, he basically, he got a phone call from Star Wars, from Lucasfilms, saying, yeah, it was a woman saying, George highly recommends you and we'd love to get you in for an interview. And he thought he was being punked.
Yeah, well, so, you, why wouldn't you?
I he would goes, too. Yeah, this is a SpongeBob guys, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, he thought the whole thing was a joke. And then, like, you got to hear the story. But then of course, he goes in for the interview. He met George and he put his portfolio out. And this is why I wish you had seen this so we could talk about it. But I got chills listening to him put out his portfolio. And, I mean, basically, that's all he said. But I just remembered all our portfolio days and standing in front of those people, watching them flip your art. And you're just like, if they looked up at you and were like, oh, that's cool. And you're like, oh, okay, good. And be like, or the critiques, you're like, oh, no. But George Lucas is looking at his art and he's like, he said, he goes, hey, I'm not getting this job. There's no way, but I am going to have the, I have got the coolest nerd cred in line for Revenge of the Sith. It was so, you got to hear that one. It's really good. It's worth watching. And
I'm going to watch it tomorrow. Just, like I said, haven't had a chance to get to it yet.
And Taika Waititi won. He wraps it up because he's like the biggest name out of all of them. And he's really good. And that what made me think of it is when you said, like, is he going to be able to bring his own like flavor to it? And that's what, like, if you hear Favreau in the gallery thing, he was like, he wanted all these different directors for all the different flavors. And basically what you and I have talked about in the past, like when we were talking about with Deadpool and how like the director's like, I want to do my thing. And it's like, you know, some people, that's what they wanted. And it was really, really interesting. And I thought the way they were talking to Filoni, I thought that was like the whole thing was going to be on him and then they were going to do each director. But then they went through all the directors, and I'm like, wow, I can't wait. What are they going to talk about? Now what are they going to talk about?
Yeah, what are they going to do in the rest of the shows? I don't know. How many episodes is it supposed to be?
I think it's like 8.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. Let me see. It's pull it up here. Yeah, I think it's like 8 episodes or something like that. But I can't see how many. But yeah, it was really good. And I love that it's called Gallery because I imagine they're going to do more of these for other shows, you know?
Yeah, well, and I thought that was weird because it took me a minute to even find it on Disney Plus because I was like, I'm looking for the Mandalorian stuff and it's like, I can't find this.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to save it in my
Star Wars stuff. It's definitely Star Wars.
Well, I saw it, but I went right over it, you know?
Because
I was like, oh, that's something, you know, something else that I'll check back on later, but I was looking for the Mandalorian thing. And then I looked at it again. And I was like, oh, this is it. Cause I thought it was a strange title for that.
Yeah. The music. I haven't watched the Mandalorian in a while. And
no, I haven't either.
They played that, you know, that theme music for that. And I got taken back to November, December, and you're like, oh yeah, I remember getting up every Friday morning to watch these episodes. It's really good. So,
yep.
All right. What? Speaking of Mandalorian.
Well, I was going to say, that wraps me right into my last.
See how we work that?
Yeah. So the Mandalorian season 2 has been announced that it will not be delayed. So that's great.
They must be done with principal photography.
Well, and like you said, we had talked about that a couple weeks ago where I think they've been done, you know, they had already been done with that for a little while. So maybe they were able to put some finishing touches on, you know, the cinematography or, you know, whatever they have to do post-production remotely or either that or it was pretty much already done before this started. But at least we'll have something to look forward to at the end of the year. Because we're not going to have any of the Marvel Disney Plus shows this year at all.
Yeah.
And then I actually have one more bit of news that I didn't write down, but I was just reading this.
Surprising me.
Yeah, well, I was just reading this before we sat down because I didn't even know this was a thing. But I just read an article that the upcoming Supergirl movie was being postponed because of Superman. I don't remember us ever even talking about or knowing about an upcoming Supergirl movie. But now the new reports, the report initially was that they were going to put a new Superman movie on the back burner so they could focus on a Supergirl movie that would be separate and not connected to the, you know, the CW show. But now it looks like the opposite is true. It looks like they're thinking about going back to the well with Superman feature, and it's now pushed Supergirl back to the back burner again. This article was talking about the potential of Henry Cavill coming back again to Superman. So I don't know how much of this is wish fulfillment or what, but I kind of wanted to get your take on this story, because as I was reading it, I was thinking to myself, we've had a bunch of Superman movies, and not that I don't want Henry Cavill back and don't want another one, but I'd rather have a Supergirl movie at this point. Like, I'm a little bummed that, you know, once again, the man is pushing out the woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought it was odd you'd, you know, put the woman on the back burner. That was a little odd.
Well.
I'm just kidding you.
Yeah.
No.
But as I was reading it, I was kind of like, irritated. I was like, you know, I'd rather have a Supergirl movie. Just because we've never
had one.
We had the Helen Slater movie, so I can't say we never had a Supergirl movie. But, I mean, we've had a bunch of incarnations of Superman at this point. And, you know, again, it's just like if somebody asked you, do you want another Batman movie or do you want a Green Lantern movie? Well, we all want the Green Lantern movie.
Right.
As much as we love Batman, we've had a bunch of Batman already. So,
and we all like to think we've had no Green Lanterns.
Yes. I just, you know, I was wondering what your take on that was, but
I think that's, I'm wondering if it had anything to do with Henry Cavill's schedule, because you hear a lot of reports that they're in negotiations. He wants to come back. He's willing to take a pay cut. All the different rumors that have been out there, right?
Right.
What if it's and I'm going to throw our monkey wrench right into this right after I'm done explaining it, this scenario. But what if it's a matter of like, okay, we can get you in here. We could, in between your Witcher appearances,
right,
we can film this and then we can put that out and then we'll do Supergirl later. My one issue with that is, why couldn't you do both?
Exactly.
Why does one have to go on a back burner of the other unless they're afraid of like burnout? Which I think
that's
at
what
this
it was.
Point, nobody's going to have burnout.
Yeah, the article sounded like Warner Brothers didn't feel like it made sense to have a Superman and a Supergirl movie very close together. I couldn't disagree with that more.
Why? Our eyes are tied to blue and red?
Exactly. Like I don't know why. Why it would even matter, especially if you could tie them together somehow.
Right.
Like, you could definitely do them almost back to back. And, I mean, hell, we got Infinity War and Endgame a year apart. We got all the Lord of the Rings movies a year apart. Like, it doesn't, you don't have to have 2 years between movies.
Right.
Here's an idea. You could do one and then connect them.
The stories might have nothing to do with each other, but then, like, this is completely fresh, but after the credits are done, you have the other one appear at the end to say hi to him or something. You know,
right,
kind of like, I don't know what you'd call it, something like after the credits type scene or something. But
yeah, I don't know.
That would be kind of fun, huh?
I think years ago there was a Ferris Bueller movie did something like that, but
and he wasn't even trying to tie in any kind of link or anything.
No, he just wanted everybody to get out of the theater,
go home,
but,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, it's no, it, but seriously, if I had my choice, just like you, I would take Supergirl.
Yeah.
If I had to choose, because I know I'm going to get both, but I think Supergirl would, I think it actually could work better that way too, because it could rejuvenate the audience, and then you come back with a Superman and maybe even have, like you said, you have Superman tied in at the end of Supergirl or something and get people going, kind of like when we saw the, you know, Nick Fury at the end of Iron Man or something,
right.
But anything to just something to, like, you know, spice it up, get it going. And although I don't know.
My only thing is that it needs to be the skirt version and not the long pants version,
really,
of Supergirl that we're getting on
pants.
TV now. I mean, I like the pants too, in theory, but I like the skirt more in practical terms.
How is it practical to fly around wearing a skirt?
I'm not worried about the flying around. I'm worried about my viewing experience of the content. None of this is practical.
No, pants are actually easier to fly and fight in.
Yeah,
but no, but I like the look of the pants too. Yeah. I mean it's kind of the look of the day. I mean, you ever seen a girl out there now that doesn't wear yoga pants or whatever?
Yeah,
it's the same thing that Supergirl's wearing.
Yeah, I get it.
I know. You're a skirt guy. I got it.
I am. Yep.
All right. Is that all we got?
That is all I've got.
All right. All right. Well, we had a bunch of tweets this week. People coming at us with their collections. Did you see? I know you saw this one. I think you commented on it or you liked it. Dr. Joe's Lego collection.
I did.
That was pretty cool. That X-Wing,
a lot of time and patience went into that.
Yeah, and he's gluing them together.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there. Well, he had that tweet about what, like crazy glue the
right,
the joke there, but yeah, he's got the the speeder, was that cargo? Yeah, it must be the cargo with the X-Wing. Yeah,
I don't have it up in front of me, but
yeah, nice stuff, and a Millennium Falcon. That thing's pretty cool.
They're awesome, and depending on which version, pretty pricey.
Yeah.
Millennium Falcons are worth some money.
Yep. Yeah, that was pretty cool. And did you see Joe replied to it?
Yeah.
My son with his Legos that he has a few. Yeah. That Y-Wing, Joe's Y-Wing's pretty, it's big. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, he got that a few years ago.
Yeah, I never got into those sets, but I know some of the older Star Wars pieces are pretty big, and like I said, they kind of go out of print. They're like comic books and stuff. Like there's
the Lego
big
sets?
Collector. Yeah, there's a big collector market for Lego.
I did
some of those sets get insanely pricey.
I did tons of Legos when I was a kid. I had we didn't have Star Wars sets when we were kids.
Well, we didn't really have sets when we were kids. But yeah, most of them, I mean, there were some sets, but a lot of them were just you buy boxes of bricks. I mean, you just made your own stuff, you know?
That's mostly what I did with my Legos because I have a trash bucket, a blue trash bucket filled with Legos that I gave to my son. But I used to just pour that out on the floor and build my own things.
Yeah.
But I did the sets. I got the space sets. I got all of those little things. And back then, there were no, like, formed pieces. It was all, like... The smallest
they were all
piece
square,
you had was
right.
that little one piece. Oh, what a pain in the ass. It killed your hands. But yeah, I loved Legos. But my mother used to take them apart. I'd display them like Dr. Joe has his here. And then I'd come in one day and my mother cleaned the room and she took them all and dumped them in and they're all broken apart.
Now
and
it's
you
like
can never do it again.
Death sentence to do that.
And how I think, I mean... Of all the collections we've seen this week, the Adrianos, all those Transformers?
Yeah.
Did you see all those?
Yeah.
All right. I was going to type this out. And I should have asked you, too, how do you dust all these things?
Well, that's why I keep all mine in behind glass, so I don't
have
to. So
the dust doesn't, yours are all set?
They stay pretty clean. I mean, at least to this point, I haven't had to go in and dust them off.
Yeah.
But... I see a lot of collections where, like, for
the
instance, I'm just looking at the pops that I have on my desk right here, and they've got a layer of dust on them. So I think if you keep them out, you know, you definitely have to do that. I remember, I used to have a bunch of figures displayed in, you know, a house years ago, and those shelves used to get super dusty, and you just have to take them all down. Dust it and put them all back. It's a labor to do that. So the canned air doesn't really work because you're just blowing your figures all over the place. So
no, but I wouldn't just go up to them on the shelf and do that. I would take them down. But I'm saying each figure to have to dust all of those would be high. I mean, you take them down, blow it off someplace else, and put it back.
Right. Like I said, that's why all mine are enclosed in glass, and they seem to stay pretty dust free. I mean, they've been up there for close to a year. And they all are super clean, so.
Yeah.
But it's a chore.
I bet. Adriano had a question.
Yeah.
Let me click on that again. Here it is. So, I showed you the Han Solo.
Yes.
So, his question was, This is a Han Solo figure that got given to me by this old lady that lived next door to my grandparents. So I've had this since about 1993-ish, maybe. Have you ever seen this figure? I've never been able to figure out what it's a legit figure or the year of production.
Yeah, so that's one of the Power of the Force 2 figures that came out. I think it was a little bit later than 93. I think that line was like 94, 95 when it came out.
That's ish.
Yeah. And somebody took a paintbrush to it. So.
Oh, really?
That's not the original color scheme that figure would have come with. So whoever had it before it was given to him, somebody did some work on it. But it's definitely from that Power of the Force line. It's, you know, known as the muscle head line of Star Wars figures because every one of them is completely jacked when you look at those figures.
Yeah.
They've
got the V body going.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Yeah, definitely. I didn't know if that's the way it came or it's like, but it definitely was painted.
Yeah, somebody changed the colors of it. But it's definitely from that 95 or 94-ish Power of the Force line.
And his crotch is cracked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it sure is. Sure is, yeah.
But, so, are those things worth anything?
No. Couple bucks at most.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I get them.
Cool.
You know, I buy those for the store at about $2 a piece, brand new in the box, or brand new on the cards, and they sell for $5 to $6 a piece, most of them. They were so mass-produced in the 90s that they're not really worth anything. Even the ones back when I was collecting them that were worth a lot at the time have all dropped down to, you know, I mean, some of them that were selling for over 100 or more, you know, now you're lucky to get $20 for them.
You know? Yeah.
Because there's just so many of them out there. And everybody kept them on the pack. Well, like, you know, everybody, nobody opened them and played with them.
Right.
You know, everybody kept them on the package because they were, you know, going to retire. It's going to be the next Star Wars thing, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like anything after the 80s, people knew about collecting. And it was anything that came out, it was just buy one and save one. So everybody had their extra.
Well, and they were like the first new Star Wars toys in, you know, over 10 years.
Oh, really?
You know, when Kenner stopped producing in 83, the original figures, you know, these came out 93, 94-ish, whatever, by Hasbro. So there hadn't been any Star Wars figures really prior to that. So it was a big deal for these things to come out. And, you know, like I was in the height of my toy collecting at that time. So, you know, a lot of midnight trips to Walmart picking cases off the pallets, you know, doing all the dumb stuff that you do to try to get these things. I spent a lot of time in the stores buying these.
Crazy.
Here's what I used to do. You'll say, well, that's John when you hear me say this. So, you know, I would get my day off and it was, you know, every Tuesday or whatever it was. And I was going to go toy hunting and I would strap Nick in the back seat with me because it was just him and I at the time. And we would drive to like a Walmart at like 7 in the morning and I would go through and look at the store, and then I would go into the McDonald's and I would buy a fountain Coke.
Uh-oh.
And then I had Walmart route listed like all the way through downtown Houston. You know, it would take me, you know, all day to make this circle. But at every one I went to, I waited to the Walmart and got my free refill of Coke. You know, so I bought the one Coke in the morning and refilled it all day long at every Walmart across the state of Texas. And hunted for toys.
Yes, that is John.
Yeah.
That is John. What was that park? What game did we play that time we went? Remember that in high school? We played that game and any time. Scruples?
Scruples,
Scruples?
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime there was a money question.
Everybody on the table just went to John.
It's like, I was always
we
frugal.
All knew how you would handle it, and it's like I forget what the rules were, but I think you had to guess how somebody would handle a situation or whatever.
Well, my mother used to make fun of me when I was a kid. She used to every time I would buy something, I'd pull out my wallet, and she'd be like, "Oh, look, all the moths are gonna fly out when he opens his wallet." But you know, I saved my money, and then I always bought the stuff I wanted because I was
right.
you know, my sister would get her allowance, and like 8 minutes later, it was gone. She didn't even have to leave the house. It was just, she just spent it.
Right.
But I would save it up for 4 or 5 weeks at a time and then go buy what I wanted to buy. You know, I've always been that way. So,
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, it was,
as long as I've known you.
I milked that Coke all day long.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. All right. Somebody that didn't send us a collection, I got to say I was a little disappointed. He sent us a question anyways. But JR at Hooded Collector. I mean, he's the Hooded Collector.
You
thought we might have seen a collection. But
his hood collection, at least.
Yeah. It's so funny now that I've seen him in person, met him at Friendly Neighborhood during a collection, toy collection thing.
Yeah.
And, seeing him in person and everything, and it's like I see the hood and I'm like, that's not what he looks like at all.
Right.
But his question was, are you guys watching / will you cover Tales from the Loop on Amazon Prime? I don't think it's comic related, but it's a good sci-fi series.
Never actually heard of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Check it out. My wife and I started it, and it's my rough opinion at the beginning is, since you haven't even heard of it, I won't do any spoilers, obviously, but it's a little slow, but a decent payoff.
Okay.
I found it to be a little slow. Like, Jen and I were watching it, like, the first episode, and we're like, it's a lot of that, like, eerie-type music.
Right.
And a lot of just, like, people walking around, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. But by the end of it, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I
know you're looking
it,
for
though.
Content, so
I am. Well, a little bit
now
less
that you're
now.
Back to work.
Yeah, because I'm back to work, but I'm still looking. You know, we're still
looking
for things to watch.
I think you and Lydia like it.
Okay.
We could do an episode on
Tales from the Loop.
Tales from the Loop on Amazon Prime. It's like, if you pull up your Amazon Prime, it'll show up. It's one of the highlighted shows right now.
Okay.
It's actually a pretty popular show. I hadn't heard of it either until he brought it up, so I was glad he brought it up.
I don't do a lot of Amazon Prime, although I did watch some Amazon Prime this week, because I watched Uploaded, that new one that Robbie Amell has, a new series.
Yeah.
We watched that. It was a pretty quick watch, too. I think it was eight or ten episodes. They're 25 minutes apiece, so.
Oh, wow.
Like, this was, just an afternoon. We watched. Yep. We watched the whole thing. It was pretty good, though. It's kind of like, it reminded me a bit of Altered Carbon, but not nearly as gritty, or just the theme of it. You know, basically, it's like the digital afterlife. Instead of dying, you upload into a program, and, this was what, obviously, not to be spoilers, but he dies and he gets uploaded into the program.
That's the story.
Yeah. And it was pretty funny, though. I actually enjoyed it.
Cool.
Before
we get to some books, let's get to some anything comics. I'm sure you finished Clone Wars.
I did.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And well, let's go spoilers, because if you haven't watched it by now, I mean, seriously, people?
Yeah. If you cared, you watched it.
Yeah. And so what did you think of the season as a whole now that it's all done?
Well, I still...
I have my comments, but...
I still think it was up and down. You know, obviously, the last... it finished very strong, right? Obviously, the last four episodes were super strong. But that doesn't diminish the choppiness of the whole season. I think it was still had its ups and downs.
I'm having trouble calling it a season.
Yeah, it almost felt like two separate...
three
separate arc. Well, and it was three separate, basically four episode story arcs.
Yeah, three series, four episodes apiece.
Right,
and it was, and I wanted to ask you, what did you think the purpose of that middle story was?
I don't know, because like I said, it didn't set up anything that's going to pay off, because we'll never see those characters again, I don't think.
God, I hope not.
Yeah, I didn't really love them anyways.
The sisters, what I thought was like, it was like, is this supposed to show that Ahsoka, like,
it's just what she was
doing.
She'll
take care of anybody, even people that are dumb. Like, you know, like, I didn't get it. It's like, at every turn, you were like, this the show as a whole before that was so much smarter than that four, that, you know, those four episodes. Those sisters were, you know, when they dumped that cargo.
Yeah, I was like, how stupid is that?
And like she just like angrily hit a button.
Right.
And it's like, how did you, you can't be that dumb and get that far in life doing what they're doing. You would have made so many mistakes.
She was smart enough to make a ship from scratch. So,
right. So she's mechanically inclined. Yeah. I get that. But then you're just like, oh.
You would think have to have some kind of brain or common sense on her shoulders, at least, you know?
Yeah. Not to mention, you know what in scenes like that, what I think are funny, you're in space.
Yeah.
Stop. Just stop and talk it out. Nobody can find you. You're in the middle of literally in the middle of nowhere.
There's like, no GPS.
It's like, just pull over. And you're not even pulling over.
Just stop. Right. Just hit the stop.
Hit the stop. Just float, you know, and let's work out the issues.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, no, they're flying through, like, they were in hyperspace when she ejected the cargo.
Yeah.
The spice. Yeah. And you're like,
I want to know what spice is, by the way.
I know. I think it's a drug.
It's got to be a drug, right? It's got to be
I think there's legal purposes and illegal purposes.
It's got to be like narcotics.
Much like our drugs.
Right. But, you know, it shows up kind of all through Star Wars.
Right.
But they never really explain what it is.
It's like oregano. Know?
Yeah, that's what it is.
They're running oregano.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I thought if you took that out and you made it 8 episodes... We'd be talking about, like, wow, what a phenomenal season.
Well, really?
They're not connected. But
you could have took out the first 8, really, and just made it a 4. You could have just brought out a movie. Because even the droids thing at the beginning wasn't that great. You know?
No, it wasn't the droid. That was the...
that was from the season before. That's right.
Yeah, that was the... No, but it was the... What was it?
I don't even remember what it was. Oh, yeah, not the Dirty Dozen, but...
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Not the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I mean, that was okay. Bad Company.
It was okay, but
again, it didn't really pay off anywhere.
No.
Like, in the season, you know, it just
felt
completely irrelevant, you know? It was a good enough story by itself in a whole, but...
Here's why I thought it was a good story. I thought it was going somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing.
Because it started the season, and then when they go from that, and then they go right into the, you know, the Dumb and Dumber sisters, and you're like, what happened? Where did that story go? And I remember us talking, and you're like...
Oh, yeah, going into episode 9, I guess, I was very disappointed.
Right.
Because 9 through 12 is when it kind of paid off.
I thought you had said during the Sisters series that you were saying, like, this is the last we're going to see of Ahsoka. Did you?
I probably did say that. And I probably thought that at the time. Because I really felt like we were going to get more of, like, everything with Anakin and Obi-Wan, it happened off screen. You know, I mean,
Which I thought was really cool.
It was all the... You know, obviously we saw it all play out in the movie Revenge of the Sith, but in the context of this show, they really were not in this season at all. But their presence was felt through the last several episodes because you knew what was going on with them because you had seen the movie. But I thought that we were going to come out of, like, the sisters' storyline and kind of go into the Anakin and Obi-Wan storyline, and that's not what happened. And actually, I think the way they ended up doing it was better. You know, I really like what they did. But I didn't think we would see Ahsoka again. I kind of thought that was going to be it. So
yeah. No, I know. I remember you saying that. And then when she showed up in episode 9 and we got by the end of episode 9, you got the feel of what was to come.
Yeah.
Obviously. But that last story arc... was not
it was
only
fantastic.
And it set you up for so much more.
Yep.
It's
again, it makes me want to go watch Revenge of the Sith again, even though I just watched it, you know.
Yeah, watch it with knowing what you know what's going on
right, cuz now you know what's happening in other parts of the universe while they're doing what they're doing, you know.
And what was funny is I was actually getting a little confused in there because I'm watching Rebels, which I've got 5 episodes left of that.
Of the whole series?
Yeah.
But you've seen the whole, by this point, you've seen all her meeting back with Anakin and all that
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was all awesome.
You know. Right, and I was going through that, I think, at the same time as, like, whatever episode that was in the Clone Wars, you know, like, episode, I don't know, whatever. But, you know, in Rebels, when Darth Maul shows up and takes what's-his-name as an apprentice-type thing or whatever,
Ezra,
and you're like,
yeah.
But, yeah, Ezra, and then you're back and forth. Now you go back to the Clone Wars series, and you're like... I'm getting things mixed up here.
Well, that's the whole thing. And even by now, you've kind of seen what I was mentioning before, because you know where the Darksaber is at this point.
Yes.
You know? So now the question is, how does it get to Moff Gideon? You know, like, what's that story that happens in there? I still don't want to spoil the end of that with what happens with Ahsoka and all that. Yeah, I don't want to spoil the end of that. But, again, you just think that it all has to kind of tie back around to the Mandalorian, and we're going to get some kind of fill in the gaps between the, you know, where, how the Darksaber ends up where it ended up in Rebels and how it gets to, you know, where it is in the Mandalorian. So, you know, are we going to see more of Bo-Katan? You know, are we going to see any of these characters pop up in the Mandalorian? You know, I don't, who knows, but
yeah. It's, I just finished the part with, I just finished the episode when Kanan basically pulls an Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw it coming, because he basically, that's what I like about this series, both Rebels and Clone Wars, and I wish I could quote them. Because when they happen, you know what they are, but they're taking exact quotes from the movies.
Yes.
And they implant them in there in context.
Yep.
And it's really cool. It's really, really cool.
I know what you're saying, because I noticed it several times when I was watching it, but if you asked me right now to tell you any of them, I can't.
But it, you know where, excuse me, you know where I've seen it, I want to say predominantly, but it probably isn't, but it's like when they're in... when they're going in to attack something, and it's like, or they'll be like, oh, we're going into attack formation. It'll be something from the, it'll be a line from when they were attacking the Death Star.
Right.
Or
I know Yoda has some line that he says too, that's a direct callback to something that happened in the original trilogy.
But a lot of times it's not a character.
Remember any of them, but
It's a lot of times it's not a character like Yoda saying a Yoda line. It's just somebody saying a line of another character, and it's, you know, like I said, like Kanan was saying a lot of Obi-Wan's lines there. And it's like, you know, like when he says goodbye to Ezra, but he's not saying goodbye. He's saying the Force will be with you always. Right. And then he turns and goes off. You know, and it's so, but there, throughout all of, you know, the 7 season of Clone Wars and now the, what is it, 4 or 5 seasons of Rebels, you're like, whatever, it's like they're all implanted in like every episode. You get a little bit of something. It's really really cool.
Yeah, it's great.
But back to the Clone Wars there. What'd you think of Darth Maul, and in that series, that last 4 episodes?
Well, I mean, you kind of feel a little bad for him, don't you?
Yeah,
I did. You know. It's like he's kind of cast aside, like he was...
They added way more depth to his character.
Right, but at one point he was part of the plans, right? Like he was, you know, part of the grand plan of the Emperor. And then he kind of gets discarded, you know, well, basically after Obi-Wan kills him. You know, and cuts him in half, he gets discarded. But yeah, you kind of feel a little bad for him. And you don't know exactly what his motivations are, because he doesn't necessarily want to go along with what, like, with Order 66 and with what the Emperor's doing. But he, you know, he doesn't want to be a good guy either. So, but yeah, obviously between both series, between Rebels and the Clone Wars, you know, they took a character that was pretty much like only Boba Fett
was
had
dead.
had less depth than Darth Maul. Right. Like, two super popular characters that had no depth or really story to them at all. They just looked cool and died early on. But they were able through these shows to really give him a backstory and a personality and depth and all this stuff. And yeah, I thought he was really good in the series.
And I like I said, I have 5 episodes to go on Rebels. You could spoil it for me. Just let me ask the question. Do we see a Maul Vader face off?
No.
I want to see that.
Yeah, I know. Wouldn't that be awesome? But yeah, because it doesn't happen.
Maul, we need to see it somewhere. Yeah. Because Maul is super powerful.
Way more powerful than
I thought he would be. And right. It's like, which actually gives you more respect for Obi-Wan.
Yes.
Because he beat him.
Yeah.
And you know, I think he, even during the Clone Wars, it's like, the series, it's like his sole goal is to get back at Obi-Wan.
Yes.
And he can't.
Right.
He still hasn't.
Even in this last couple of, like, I think episode 11, he says, I was expecting Obi-Wan, but I got you or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he wants that face-off again because he's never really had it, the opportunity to avenge himself. And,
yeah,
you know,
but the scene with Ahsoka at the end of this Clone Wars series where they had him captive, and then he gets out and he basically goes through that entire, he destroys the ship from the inside out.
Right, he goes through the entire clone army
without his saber.
Right.
It's like, I mean, he's just moving people left and right. He's using people as human shields or whatever.
Well, and even I would say even Ahsoka through these last couple of episodes of this is, even though she was never officially a Jedi, you know, called a Jedi, she's more powerful than any of them that we've seen. Like,
right,
except for maybe Rey. But I mean, she's like completely wrecks everything, you know.
And went toe to toe with Maul.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, and I mean, I don't know what you would call that. She didn't lose. I wouldn't say she won.
No, it was a draw, basically, or, you know, interrupted to be continued kind of thing. So
now my last question on this, and, you know, here we go. We've been talking for quite a while, but I'm finding it very interesting. Hope the listeners are too. My last question on this is Ahsoka.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk on Twitter. Like, everybody thinks, like, they're saying, like, she's the most popular character in Star Wars. She's the best character. She's this and that. And I kind of agree.
She's one of them for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But she's also I think she's the only character that has been given a 7-season story arc to flesh them out.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing.
You can really get that. And I think you and I mentioned this a while back. But there's still so much more we can learn and we're going to learn about her. And it's like, I think that's what gives her that popularity. And it's like, you know, no other character has been given this much.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Like you said, I don't know if she's the most popular character. I know she has a huge fan following. But she is the character that I most want to see more of. You know, more than anything. Even more than like a Yoda movie or anything like that. Like, those would all be fun, but she's the character that I want more of, kind of more than anything, you know,
because
there's so much potential. I think there's so much potential for her that they could do.
Well, let me throw this one at you. And I just thought of this off of the top of my head when you just said Yoda. That's another character that for all intents and purposes, we know nothing about.
Well,
has not been fleshed out at all, right? Much like how in the 80s we thought Darth Vader was the baddest bad guy ever to be put on screen,
right?
But we never saw him really do anything until Rogue One,
right?
Right. So what if they went back and did a Yoda series and saw him at a nice young, you know, virile 400.
400, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, funny that we both picked 400.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, nice, you know, 400 years old battling, like, what was Plagueis?
Yeah.
How cool. And defeating him.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Don't get me wrong. Like, it's not that I wouldn't watch it. I mean, of course I'd be all over
that out, and then you'd be like, wow. Because just think of what they've done with Maul. in the brief, and he hasn't had a lot of screen time in Clone Wars. He's popped up and it was like a big surprise and oh, he's still alive and all this.
Yeah.
But just the little bit extra that they've given him has given him so much more depth. And imagine getting that much more depth than Yoda.
Oh, yeah. It, well, like would... I said, it, I'd be all for it, but if I had to pick, I think she, I, like I said, I think Ahsoka is the character that I want to see the most of.
Well, yeah, she's on the top of our mind right now. And I mean, that's especially true. The way that season ended, that's, yeah. It was awesome. So, all right, you want to get a little bit into comic books here?
Yeah.
All right. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. Well, I mean, I have very little news. So I don't know if you were able... You didn't mention anything from any of the other stores, so I don't know if you got any...
I have a little something.
Anything from that. But again, the only thing I really have any news on is FOC for this week, and there's very little of that, too, unfortunately. Most of the DC books on FOC this week were repeats from the week before. I'm not even sure why that is, but... almost everything they offered was stuff we talked about last week. There were two exceptions. We did get Batman 95 and Nightwing 72 added to FOC, and they both had some really nice variant covers. Batman 95 has a Francisco Mattina variant cover, and Nightwing 72 has Alan Kwa variant covers. So, like I said, both of those were really cool. Everything else we talked about last week. And there were very few Marvel books on here. Just, I think, like five different titles. And there were no variant covers at all. They were just the main covers. So, now again, like I mentioned last week, this list is not finalized until Friday. So, there might be some more that gets added to it before Monday. But... as of right now, there was just not a lot on there. So right. That's really it.
All right. Well, I have from Motor at Legends Comics and Games in Littleton, Mass. He got back to us with, well, the final order cutoff is all over the place. We are receiving word from Diamond that they are going to start sending again for May 20th release date. We'll see if that works out well or not. DC has been sending us their own cutoff list since now they have three distributors that they are using, yep. Diamond being only one of them. I think this will make things a bit more complicated at first, but in the end, I think it might actually be a better route than relying on one company for everything. So, thoughts?
Well, you know, again, I don't disagree. We talked about that briefly last week where, you know, I think competition is healthy. You know, at this point, there's not a compelling enough reason to that would make me switch from Diamond to using either one of those other two options. And, you know, I'm not going to hash it out again because we've talked about right. The reasons multiple times. But again, it is a little confusing because we're getting emails, like we're getting emails directly from DC. We're getting emails from from Diamond. So it is a little bit hard to decipher everything, unless you're me, because I'm not going to get from anywhere but Diamond. So that's really all I'm paying attention to. You know, I just don't really, you know, I glance through the emails that DC sends, obviously, to see if there's anything of import, but I don't pay attention to any of their cutoffs or their dates or anything they're doing because I'm not going to participate in it at all. So I simplify it for myself by just ignoring most of it and doing it all through my regular FOC process with Diamond.
Right.
So.
But like anything, competition helps make things better.
Well, right. Because again, if it makes the process.
Say you have an issue, you have another route now.
Right.
If you get that frustrated with something, you have another route, you know. But if you're happy with it, then there's no need to move on. Just like, I mean, I think of it like a runner in a race. You're leading the race. You could go right. faster, but nobody's catching you. So right. why would you go faster? But if somebody starts to catch you, you'll do better. So who knows? Could
well,
help.
Like I said, I said the same thing last week. You know, if nothing else, if they provide enough competition, it forces Diamond to up their game. And I think if that's the case, everybody wins. Because, you know, then we, because again, they'll up their game across the board. They won't just process the DC books better, but still continue to, you know, do the other ones the old way. So, it just still remains to be seen how much competition they're really going to get. And, you know, only time will tell on that. So there's no way really to know until. And I don't think we'd even see the effects of it. Like, it'd be a year probably before there was enough raw data to, you know, really make any changes.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Did you check anything out this week?
I did not.
You didn't? Okay.
Didn't read a single thing this week, actually.
All right.
A lot of Magic the Gathering.
There you go.
I'm deep in that hole right now. So a lot of computer games.
I'm enjoying my theater. So I'm getting time in there when I can. And then when I'm not, I'm enjoying time with Jen and watching shows with her. We're we're almost done with Ozark. Did you finish that?
I finished it. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Very dark.
Well, it is.
Almost too dark for me.
Oh, it's like, I like it.
Yeah. But it is frustrating at times. And you're like, but
I don't know what season you're on.
Great. Well, we're halfway through the third.
Oh, the third. Okay. Yeah. So what's her name? Laura Linney.
Yeah. She's gone.
Not a big fan of her.
No. Oh my God.
She turned, you know, between season two and season three, she changes pretty drastically.
Yeah. We just got to the part where it's like, you're like, come on, lady. And it's like, and I think, no spoilers if you haven't seen it. It's a really good series. It's very dark. I did enjoy it. Jen really is enjoying it. She loves these dark type.
Well, I do too. So
shows. It really is like we went right from that, right from Ray Donovan.
Yeah,
and this is basically the same thing.
Yeah,
it's pretty much the same thing. And but anyways, but yes, those characters, Laura Linney and a couple other characters, or at least one other I won't mention, but a little too big in their britches.
A little bit.
They thought they could take care of things, and it's like they found out the hard way, like when, you know, Jason Bateman's not around.
Right. And we're kind of like all saying it, like I'm watching the whole thing going, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not the right move. And then, it all comes kind of crashing to a head. So.
Yeah. I love the video game.
Yeah.
That he kept thinking, and he, you know, and I love that how they worked that in, like he wants to win.
Right.
That was a pretty cool little tie in there.
Yeah.
But I did get some reading in. A while back, Ernie and I were talking in the store, and he had recommended The Vision by Tom King.
Tom King. Yeah.
Did you read that?
I haven't read it, actually. I heard great things about it, though.
Speaking of dark.
Yeah.
So if you look at the cover, now I bought both volumes when I'm standing there talking to Ernie because he has that effect on you.
Right.
much like you.
Yeah.
So I bought both volumes and I put them on my shelf and I look at them and you open the first couple pages and it's nice, really nice art. Gabriel Hernandez Walta did the art. I don't know if you know anything else he had done.
No.
But
it's off the top of my head, but
what I really like about the art is it's deceptive to the story.
Yeah.
Like if you just flip through the book, you're like, oh, this is a nice story. Vision that like he has a family and he did all this.
Right.
And then as you go through it, it's I didn't even mean this, but believe it or not, it's a lot like Ozark.
Dark.
It goes dark and it's pretty good. And it's like, I'm almost done. Like I have a little bit left in volume one and then obviously I'll read volume two probably by next week.
Right.
But, it's definitely grab that. If you have it sitting on your shelf at work, pick it up.
Oh, I'm sure I do. Yeah.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. A lot of people have recommended it to me. I just haven't gotten to it.
And, oh, here it is. I was talking to Dr. Joe the other day, and he mentions to me, he goes, Red King of Nowhere, finally. And and while the art was initially turned me off, I really enjoyed the story. Like,
is that what we said? I can't even remember.
That's exactly what I said to him. Okay. I was like, Did we recommend that?
Yeah, is that what we said? I remember liking it though. So, I remember liking the story, but I think we said something similar with the art.
Exactly, and what we said was, well, like, it, you might not like this, but definitely to look at it, you might not want it, but pick it up because it's that good of a story.
And then I think we said the art actually fits the story once you read it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm like, I actually want to go grab my copy and read it again.
Yeah, because I can't remember it at all. Yeah, I kind of remember something about like a fish dude or like a man fish or something being.
But that could have been
or
something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. I was like, I thought it was funny.
I've slept since then, so went
I've
completely
been
out of my head
since then. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, new books. Wow. Okay. But yeah, so he really enjoyed that. Glad he enjoyed it. I'm glad we recommended it. And I think I'm going to read it again. That'll be on my checkout next week.
There you go. Yeah, it's just like a rerun.
Oh, we could do one of those.
Yeah.
No. All right. Is that it for this week?
I believe so.
All righty. And next week, we're going to be talking about Spider-Man.
Yes.
From 2002. Sam Raimi. Can't wait. Can't wait.
All right.
Uh-oh, look at that face.
Oh, no. No face.
All right. All righty. All right, let's get out of here. Let us know how everything's going with you this week. Hit us up on Twitter at @brightside_chat. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And please, if you get a chance, what do you mean if you get a chance? You're sitting home.
Yeah, everybody's got time. We should have like thousands of 5-star ratings by now. Because everybody's off with nothing better to do.
There you go. Exactly. But John said it, everybody. Please. No excuses here.
That's right.
Go on to somebody's iTunes account. Give us a 5-star review.
Exactly.
That would be great. Rate, review, and subscribe. Really appreciate it. That's it. We out of here?
We are.
Let's go.
Gotta lock
Have a
the
great
door.
Week.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.